Morning. Today's Daven Baba Basra's Kuf Mem Hey. We are in the Mishnah Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Beis. We are starting with a Mishnah right in the middle of the Amud. Before I start with the Mishnah, so just a brief word of introduction. There is what we would call a common courtesy, what you would call common sense, and that is that if I'm making a chasna and I invite you to my chasna, so then I kind of expect that you'll invite me to your chasna and I'll come to your chasna. And Let's go over a little bit more about what is considered common sense. We're not even up to the halacha yet, just basic common sense. If I come to your chasna, not only you invite me to your chasna, but I come to your chasna and I give you a gift. So it's a kind of expected. You would call it common courtesy. You call it decency. But then you kind of expect that when you make a chasna, so I'll come to your chasna and I'll give you a gift. And there's a certain understood reciprocity that exists within attendance of a wedding and that of a gift giving. It's kind of understood. What we're going to be discussing over the entirety of today's daf is that it's more than kind of understood. It's an expectation. It's more than an expectation. It's an obligation. The sugya that we're going to be discussing today is this idea that there is an actual bona fide obligation that in the event that you make a chasna and I'm coming to your chasna and I give you a gift, so then you're going to return favor. I'm gonna read the just as all by way of introduction. I'm gonna read from the Torah. This takes us back to a minhag that doesn't that we don't do nowadays. Meaning the common courtesy and the common decency that I just described, that's done to this very day. But in terms of an obligation, a bona fide obligation, like the way we're going to be describing it today, so admittedly that's not done until today. And the halacha basically we're going to be learning. It's interesting day in the daf. We're going to be learning a mishnah and a gemara, and it's very straightforward and should all be put down in the Shulchan Aruch, and it is. But we don't. It sounds strange, but we don't follow it to the degree of regimen that is that's being described and discussed in today's daf.
What is the issue with the Goel and also that remember the end of Hebrew Shiva that
yes,
Jewish,
yes, right,
right.
He called them. He called him a donkey. He called him a sterile donkey, which seems to be superfluous. Sterile mule, I should say. He said, in other words, I know that he's not going to be making chasnas, and right. So why should I invite him to me when, meanwhile, he can't reciprocate? Okay, but we. Okay, that's true.
Was that the issue?
It's not an issue. Meaning he's right. It's not nice, but he's right. But the issue we're going to be discussing today, the topic we're going to be discussing today, is the reciprocal gift giving, which is again going to be described in very serious terms. Meaning it's a full fledged obligation. Derech HaBacharim. I'm reading the Torah. This is the Torah of Ebenezer. This is Simon Samach, okay, the 60th chapter of the Torah regarding the laws of marriage. Derech habachrim kishach anose isha chaver shalchan lo daronos kadei she's chazik behem al haotzah shehotzi al chupa. So it's what's normal, and it is the way of the young men is that when a man marries a woman, so what happens is that the friends come and shochan lo daronos, and they send gifts kadeshi is chazik behem, so that he can be supported al hotzah shehotzi al chupa. In other words, I spent a lot of money on the wedding, and you know, basically I need a little help in terms of defraying the cost of the wedding. So gifts were given. And they come and they eat during the seven days of Simcha. And Om Iksasam Ukashiyisu Gamheim Hu Porea Lahem Masha Asulo. And so that means now, in turn, that when the friend gets married, so now he, meaning the one who was already married, is now going to go to his friend's wedding, and Porea Lahem Masha Asulo, and you're going to pay back that which was given to you.
Reciprocate.
And what you should give to the person is that which he was given to you. And you should sit there and you should eat and you should be happy together with your friend. And so now we're going to familiarize ourselves with a new term for today. It's really the term of today. Meaning, kuf mem hey, the term that you need to know is shoshbinos. And basically what I just did in reading the Torah is I gave now a description of what this is. This is shoshbinus. Now, when I say this, what do I mean by this? I mean the reciprocal obligation now that you need to give in lieu of the fact that he gave you. Pirish, mereus. Now, the word shoshbinus means mereus, means friendship, meaning a friend is going to basically understand that I'm making a wedding, you'll come to me, you'll help defray the cost of my wedding, you'll give me a gift, and then in turn, when you make a wedding, I'm going to do the exact same thing for you. V'din milva yeshlo, and it's treated like a loan. And now again, this is very strong language, which in the beginning of today's shiur, that's what I said. This is going to sound like a full-blown obligation. The Torah writes, "V'dim nova yeshlo shem echa shalach lechaver v'nasahu achakach v'lo chazer chavero v'shalach lo yachol otova bebeizdin." So the Torah goes on to write that, let's say my friend made a wedding and I went there and I gave a gift, and now I'm making a chasna and I sent him an invitation and he doesn't come and he doesn't give me a gift, so I can now actually take him to Beizdin and say, hey, see, I know this is going to sound like one of the strangest cases in the court, but you know what, I made a simcha and he didn't come. But in the context of our discussion, that is a legitimate claim. Because, in other words, he made a simcha and I gave him money, and I gave him gifts, and now I'm making a simcha, now he needs to reciprocate. It's a full-blown obligation. Okay, and the umiyu, and yachol otova kodem sheyisa, but you can't make the tviya, you can't make the claim before you get married. Seems to be kind of an obvious point, but anyway. Okay, and then the Torah goes into details which we're going to see over the course of today's daf. But this is the idea behind Shoshbina. Shoshbina is this idea that it's a obligation now that I need to give to my friend who has in turn has given to me for our weddings, for our chasnas. Okay, now how does this come up in Baba Basra? It doesn't sound like a Baba Basra topic. If in fact it sounds more like it belongs in Ksuvos, maybe Kedushin, if you will. So, okay, the simplest answer is that maybe I'm right. But in other words, but it comes in the context of Baba Basra because it does have to do with the states, as the Mishnah will become clear. So, in other words, this discussion does have some basis in estate talk, and we are now in the 8th and 9th prakam of Baba Basra. That's all about estates, so therefore it comes up over here. Let's begin with the Mishnah. We're on Kuf Mem Dal Amud Beis. We're halfway down in the Amud at the Mishnah. Ha'achim sha'asim iksasim shoshbinos bechayav. Let's say I have brothers where some of them served as shoshbinos bechayav. What does that mean, served as shoshbinos? In other words, dad sends the sons, not all of his sons, but some of his sons, to be mesamech together with a chasan. And when dad sends some of his sons, so in this convoy, he sent with them gifts. So who is the real gift giver? Meaning in this picture, in this equation. So you take a look at the first Rashbam on the Mishnah. Sheshalach av etzach mibanav lesmoch etzach chasan v'yado dorano shekach derech shoshbinos no tel doron lesimchas chupa chavero. The shoshbinim, right, the friends, it is expected that they're going to come with gifts in order to help in terms of the simcha. V'ochel imo v'zeh yachzor lo kamo ken kishisa isha ketetanyi lakaman hei dvarim nemru b'shoshbinos David Metargaminan Shoshbina de David. So in other words, again, the Rashbam tells us, like we saw it already in the tour, that the word Shoshbinas is similar to the word Reyes, meaning the definition. It means friendship. And in this form of friendship, so basically dad sends some of his kids together with gifts to the chasna. So now, Bechaye Ha'av, all this was while the father was alive. Chazara Shoshbinos Chazara Lemsa. So now we know there's going to be reciprocity. We know that the Shoshbinos is going to return. So it's going to return now to whom? To the particular sons? The Mishnah says no. Chazaras Lemsa goes back to the middle, meaning it's the estate. Meaning that this halva, this loan, so to say, this reciprocity, is not going to be directed to any one of the children, any one of the boys in particular, but rather it's going to go to the estate. We view the father as the gift giver, so therefore the father, and if the father's not alive, the estate becomes now the gift receiver. The Mishnah over here gives us the language, which I know is strong, but that's exactly the point of today's daf. Shoshbinus can be collected in Beis Din, meaning this is a full-blown obligation. So that That means that when I give shoshbinus, I'm expected, I can expect and demand shoshbinus in return. If I send out jugs of wine and jugs of oil, and that's not to be collected, because that's considered just simply charity. It's chesed. In other words, jugs of oil and jugs of wine were not the prevailing minhag of what was given in terms of shoshbinus. What was given in terms of shoshbinus was money. And so if I'm coming in with a gift, but a gift over here meaning here's a bottle of salad dressing, enjoy the chasna, that's, you know, it may go appreciated. I know nowadays everything's catered, but it may go appreciated and it's very nice, but that's not considered shoshbinus. Shoshbinus is a actual cash gift that is given from one party to the other. Under those circumstances, there is an expected reciprocity when I make a chasna myself. What kind of milvah is it considered? Milvah ksav or milvah milvah balpeh? So it's seemingly it's going to be considered more like a milvah balpeh than a milvah ksav.
Account receivable to the
father. Yeah, correct. Okay, now viriminu. So what's going to bother us right now in the Gemara is going to be that we're going to have a brisa where the brisa does not seem to be saying exactly the same thing as our Mishnah. Shalchlo aviv shoshbinos. So kishihi choseres lo. So the brisa says that when the father sends shoshbinos, when it goes back to him. Seemingly the one who is getting married. Now that's not what our Mishnah said. Our Mishnah says that when the father is the one who's sending the shoshbinos, so when you get the reciprocal money, so it goes back to the estate, not to the kid who's actually getting married. That's difficult. That goes against our Mishnah. And then nishtachala aviv shoshbinos. Now let's say the shoshbinos was sent to dad, meaning dad made a chasna, meaning either dad got married or dad married one of the kids, but in other words, but the chasna, the shoshbinos gift was given to dad, and then in the question of reciprocity, so the brisa says, kishi choseres min emsa. So now who pays the shoshbinos in the event that dad's no longer here? So who pays the shoshbinos? It's going to be the estate. The estate is going to pay the shoshbinos, but it doesn't come from anyone in particular. Okay, but basically what we're looking at over here is the problem between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah says that if dad sends the shoshbinos, so when it comes back as a reciprocity, it goes back to the estate, meaning it doesn't go back to anyone in particular. And then the Braisa says no, that when dad sends the shoshbinos, it goes back to the one kid who's getting married. That's called the stira. That's a contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa. So the Gemara is going to give three different ways to resolve this contradiction. One, Amar Rabbi Yasi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ki Tanan Nami Masisin, Nishtalcha La'aviv Tanan. So what Rav Yochanan is going to suggest is that when you learn our Mishnah is not talking about where dad sent the shoshbinos, but we're talking about where dad receives the shoshbinos. Now that's a very difficult read in the Mishnah, admittedly. It's difficult to read that in the Mishnah. So, but Rav Yochanan, knowing about the Braisa, is going to tell us now that that's how you're going to have to learn the Mishnah. So, Nishtalcha le'aviv tanan, v'ha achim shasim miktsasim shoshbinos ketani. Gemara says, yeah, but read the Mishnah. It's not what the Mishnah seems to say. The Mishnah seems to indicate that dad was the one who sent the gift with his son to somebody else. So the Gemara says, tani limiktsasan. So the Gemara says, what we're going to do is edit the Mishnah or understand the Mishnah in this context, right? It's not clear exactly what the Gemara is meaning to do with the actual words of the Mishnah, but in terms of the intent of the Mishnah, limitzasan, it went to some of the sons, meaning they are the original recipients of the shoshbinos. V'ha chazar shoshbinos ketani. So the Gemara says again, read the Mishnah. The Mishnah says chazar shoshbinos when the shoshbinos comes back as reciprocity. So again, what it sounds like from the Mishnah is that first it went out from dad, and then it comes back to the family. So hachi kamar chazar legabos nigbes me'emsa. So that no chazar over here means that when it comes time to collect nigbes me'emsa, it's collected from the estate. Okay, so admittedly what Rav Yochanan did was very difficult in that when he read the Mishnah, the dad was not the one who gave the shoshbinos, but when dad did is he received the shoshbinos. Under those circumstances, when he's the recipient of the shoshbinos, so therefore when it's time to pay back, so it's paid back from the estate. Okay. That's one way to resolve the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Gemara gives a second way. Rav Asi Amar Lokashi. Now, previously it was Rabbi Asi quoting Rav Yochanan. The second answer of the Gemara now is Rav Asi himself. He says, Kam Bistan Kam Mefarish, Kid Detanya. The difference is whether it was generic or whether it was specific. The Gemara quotes the Braisa to explain the intent of his answer. Shach Lo Avi Shoshbinos, if Dad sends Shoshbinos Kishi, Choseres Lo. If Dad sent one of his kids specifically with the gift, so now when it goes back to that one particular kid that sent it. If, however, Dad was not specific about who he was going to send the Shoshbinos with. In other words, Dad just simply sent the Shoshbinos. It was coming from Dad. The kid that was delivering it is just simply a messenger of the father. So now, under those circumstances, who is the quote-unquote, I'm using the term loosely, who's the note holder over here? Who's the Bachov? Dad's the Bachov. And so therefore, when it's going to go back to the estate. It's not going to go back to the particular kid who sent the Shoshbinos. Okay, so that is a second answer of the Gemara. Now the Gemara gives the third answer. Shmuel Amar Acha B'Yava Maskinan. Now Shmuel says that over here we're talking about we're talking about a Yavam. And the now what exactly is the scenario? Let's take a look together at the Rashbam. Shmuel Amar Lolam Kedektani Braisa Da'av Shalech Shoshminas Ayedei Echad Mir Banav Choseros Oso HaBen Levado. The meaning, we're going to read the Braisa as is. The Braisa says that when one of the sons is given the Shoshminas to deliver, so the son becomes the note holder, he becomes the Bachov, so to say, and then in the case of reciprocity, it goes back to the son who delivered it. Now, as far as the Mishnah is concerned, where the Mishnah talks about the estate being the recipient of the Shoshminas, it means like this, says the Rashbam, an explanation of the Gemara. It means that It's a little bit of a drama, a little bit of a complicated scenario. One of the sons was sent out to deliver the Shoshbinos. Now again, according to Shmuel, he now becomes the Bachov. He becomes the note holder. He becomes the one where, in the case of reciprocity, it's going to go back to him, not to the estate. However, we're talking about a scenario where this after he delivered the Shoshbinos, so then he died. Shoshbinos Ayedo v'rotza lach solo el shemes v'yavam echad min ha'achim es ishto. Now he died, and one of the brothers does the mitzvah of yibum together with his widow. V'rachmana amar yikum hashem achiv al nachla v'dino hayalito al shoshbinos b'makom achiv. So now, when one of the brothers does Yivam, so we learned already time and again throughout the Gemara Yivamos, that not only is he performing the mitzvah, but there's also a financial gain from doing the mitzvah of Yivam. Specifically, he inherits the entire estate of his brother, the deceased brother, in which he's now replacing. He inherits the entire estate, but like a bechor, he only receives current holdings. He is not entitled to any account receivable. He's not going to get any obligated money. He's only going to get current holdings.
If he's already married, though, why is he getting a gift for his wedding?
Hold that thought. Ilav dekari rachmana b'chor kedichsi vaya b'chor v'ena b'chor nota b'raika b'mochsa v'ramin al kam andan b'chor nota pishnayim hilka choser slamtza l'chol alchem. So under these circumstances now, where this is an account receivable, it is an actual obligation, but it's not a current holding. So now the Mishnah is talking about this very specific and limited circumstance, where under these circumstances, now the when the Shoshbinos is actually paid, it's not going to go to the Yavam because he does not inherit the account receivable. Therefore, it goes to the estate, and therefore it's divided amongst all the brothers. Now, to which now, if you think about it more, Ben already figured it out. So the case over here is a little bit strange. So, Mechlal, the Idach Mishalem. So the Gemara says, so now what it would sound like is that the obligation is still due, meaning that the Shoshbinos obligation is still due. So the Gemara says, Michal de Idach Meshalem, Lema, or right, let him say to newly Shushbani Vesmach Imo. Meaning the person who owes the Shoshbinos, so does he owe the Shoshbinos? And the Gemara now is going to make the following argument. The Gemara is making the following argument. Look, this idea of Shoshbinos is the basic idea of reciprocity. But it's very specific. Meaning reciprocity means that when I get married, I'm inviting you to my chasna, you're going to give me a gift, a monetary gift. And then, when you get married in turn, I'm going to go to you and I'm going to give you something commensurate. And that's an obligation. But what if you never get married? What if, Rahman al-Tzlan, you die? Do I owe the money? The answer, of course, is no. Meaning it really is conditional. This obligation and this reciprocal return is conditional, of course, only in the scenario where you yourself are going to get married. So if you're not married, so then, if you don't actually get married, so then I don't have this obligation. So now over here we have a very unusual circumstance, but one in which in theory there should be no Shoshbinos obligation. Meaning I got married and you came to my chasna and you gave me a gift, and now you in turn were Mekadosh a woman, and then Rachman Otzlan, the other person dies, and so now there is no chasna. In other words, they got married, right? The two steps of marriage, kedushin, nisuin. They already went through the kedushin, but there was no marriage, there was no nisuin, second stage of marriage. There was no party, there was no gift giving. Meaning, under those circumstances, quite frankly, I don't have the reciprocal obligation to pay you because you're no longer here. So the Gemara's question over here now is really simple. We're trying to explain our Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about that in the reciprocal form of the Shoshbinos, it doesn't go to the one who's actually getting married, but it goes to the estate. We're scratching our head. We're trying to figure out why would it go to the estate? Why would it not go to the one who is actually getting married? And so what the Gemara is doing now, and the Sanhedrin is saying, oh, it's because it's a case of Yibum, and it's account receivable, and the Yavim doesn't acquire the account receivable. If it's a case of Yibum, that means that the person is no longer here. If the person's no longer here, so that means that there's no reciprocal obligation of Shoshbinos. It's really a fundamental question. Milo Tayin, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. We're back to the Gemara. Makom shenagu l'achzir kedusha machzirin. Makom shenagu shel l'achzir ein machzirin. So sometimes kedushin is returned, sometimes kedushin is not returned. We are going to explain this better in just a moment. V'amar of Yosef bar Abba, amar ukva, amar Shmuel, lo shanu ela shemei sehi. We're talking about a case where she dies. Ava meisu ein machzirin. So in the event that a man and woman go through kiddushin, she received kesef kiddushin, and then he dies, she does not have to return the kesef kiddushin. My time cholisha tomar tenuli bali vasmachimo, because she has an extraordinarily legitimate argument. Meaning, I received the kesef kiddushin, I am totally prepared to get married. Meaning, move on to the second stage of marriage. Now the problem is that unfortunately he died. Okay. And again, it's tragic, it's sad. We're just dealing with the financial aspect of it. From a financial standpoint, she received the money, she's ready to get married. It's not her fault that the marriage hasn't been consummated. Unfortunately, the husband died. She is now making an argument, a financial argument of, I don't need to return the money, I was ready to go forward with the wedding. So Hakanami, Neima here too, Tenuli Shoshbani Vesmachimo. So over here, when now this person who has a Shoshbinis obligation now says, look, I'm ready to reciprocate, but what I need in terms of reciprocity is I need him. And if he's not alive, so then there's no obligation of reciprocity. So it is a very reasonable argument. So we are basically, in Shmuel's answer of the Mishnah, it's an elegant answer, it's an elaborate answer, but it misses a most fundamental point, which is, if the person's no longer alive, there's no Shoshbinos obligation. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, Hachma Maiskinan, Kegon Shosamachimo Zanyimei, Mishnah V'lo Hispik L'Pora Achimeis. So in Shmuel's answer, we're going to have to add one more detail in order to make the answer work, and that is as follows. That what happened was, is that the reciprocating man did in fact get married, meaning he went through kedushin, he went through nisuin, and his friend was there at the nisuin and enjoyed himself, sat down, ate, in other words, relished in the meal, and then after Sheva Brachas, after the Zayin Yemei Mishta, then afterwards the person died, and now we're in a Yibum situation. Why didn't he give the gift at the time time of the wedding, that's when he should have done so. Meaning that's right. Some people are very good about giving gifts before the wedding. Some people give the gifts on the day of the wedding, and some people are backlogged in terms of the giving of the gifts. You have all different types. So in this particular scenario, so he went through with the wedding and he went through the Zayin Yemei Mishtah, and he just hasn't given the gift yet. But once he was there, now it's a bona fide obligation. Now this is a real obligation. And then we go through the sequence of then the chassan dies, then there's a yibum, then the yavam now is trying to demand the money, but because it's an account receivable, therefore the yavam doesn't receive it, therefore it goes to the estate, etc., etc. Okay, so we have to add the detail, otherwise the whole case does not work out. Okay.
Why can't you say that the wife is part of getting that gift also?
The husband's considered the note holder. He's considered the one who was obligated. He's the one who is obligated. He's the one who is the recipient of the obligation. It's from his perspective. Okay, Lema Tunuli Bali Vasmacham Imo Tanaihi Ditanya. So now the Gemara is going to quote a braisa discussing this argument that we made in the case of a woman who received Kesef Kedushin. So let's just go back. We said in making an argument that if a woman receives Kesef Kedushin, which means that she's married, but then her Aruz dies, and now the family's saying, look, it's unfortunate, everything's sad, give us back the Kesef Kedushin. She says, why should I? Meaning, the husband gave it to me for the marriage, meaning as Kesef Kedushin, and quite frankly, I was ready to go on. But unfortunately, he died, but I get to keep the Kesef Kedushin. That was our argument. And now the Gemara is going to discuss and deliberate whether or not there is an opposing viewpoint on this issue. So, Lema, we are on the top of Kuf Mem Hamad Aleph, four lines down. So, Lema Tanuli Baliv Esmachimotanaihi Detanya. The Gemara quotes the following Braisa. Amar says, Ishta Besula Gove Masayim Va'amana Manem. If a man does erusin with a woman, erusin is the first stage of marriage, so the basula collects 200, the amana collects 100. Generally speaking, I'll just touch on this point and then we'll move on. Generally speaking, the ksuva is not written until the second stage of marriage, until nisuin. It is unusual, admittedly, that a ksuva obligation is written up by the erusin. Clearly in this brisa, it was done that way. Okay, but it is unusual. Now, Makum Shanagu La'achzir Kedushin Machzir, Makum Shanagu Shlo La'achzir Kedushin Ein Machzir, and Divrei Rabbi Nasan. Rabbi Nasan says, now in the event where the marriage does not take place, the second stage of marriage, Nisuin. So Rabbi Nasan takes the position of, does she need to return the Kesef Kedushin back to him? So Rabbi Nasan says, Minag HaMakom, whatever the custom of the location is. I'm going to admit, it's a strange custom. Meaning, minhagim are usually things that are normally done. Meaning, a marriage is broken? Yes. Is there an established minhag of whether or not the Kesef Kedushin is returned or not returned? I guess yes. Meaning, it sounds like from Rabbi Nasan, there's some sort of minhag, and it's just going to be dependent on whatever the minhag is. Rabbi Yudah Nasi Omer, Rabbi Amasamra, Makam Shanagu La'achzir Machzir, Makam Shanagu Shalal La'achzir Ein Machzir. And Rabbi Yudah Nasi, seemingly arguing, says the exact same thing that Rabbi Nasan says, which is, sometimes the minhag is to return the Kesef Kedushin, and sometimes the minhag is not. And whatever the minig is, that's what you're going to follow. And what the Gemara's obvious point is, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Hainu Tanakama. Rabbi Nasan and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi are saying the exact same point. So they're not arguing, and why is the Braisa presenting it to us like they are arguing? Elalav Tanuli Ba'ali Vasmachim Mo'i Kibanar. So the Gemara says that what is missing over here is an important detail in this Braisa. And V'chasur Mechsa V'hachi Ketani. Now what we're going to do with this Braisa again, but with an important detail that will help us understand what the Nekud HaMachlokis is between Rabbi Nasan and Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. HaMa'aris is Aisha Basula Gova Masayim V'Aman Amana. That if your Ma'aris is a woman, so again, in the case where she's a virgin, she collects 200 as a ksuva, and an Amana widow will collect 100. Okay, again, that's the first part of the Braisa having to do with the ksuva obligation that was written up at the point of Erisin. Ba'med Devar Mamorim Dehadar Be'ihu. Now, what this is all talking about a scenario where he retracts. Of Amesa, if she dies, Makum Shanagu La'achzir Machzirin, Makum Shanagu Shalal La'achzir Machzirin. So is the Kesef Kedushin going to be returned? Meaning, let's keep this in mind. She dies, so where's the Kesef Kedushin right now? In other words, it's going to her Yorshim. And so can his family, he and his family now, go to her Yorshim and say, okay, look, everything's tragic and unfortunate, but give us back the Kesef Kedushin. So, according to Rabbi Nasan, Minog, the minug will be the determining factor in terms of whether or not Kesef Kedushin is going to be returned, yes or no. V'davka shemesahi, this is all talking about a case where she dies. Ava mesu, but in the case where he dies before the nisuin, ein machzirin. The Kesef Kedushin is not returned. My time yecholisha tamatinuli bali v'smachimo. And the reason is because from her perspective, she's simply saying, I was ready to go forward. The reason why the wedding is no longer happening is not my fault. And therefore, I'm not going to return the Kesef Kedushin. So, and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says, no, everything will be determined by the minug. Doesn't matter whether he dies, doesn't matter whether she dies. If the minug is to return the Kesef Kedushin, return it. If the minug is not to return it, then you don't return it. And Rabbi Yehuda Anasi seemingly does not accept this argument of, if he dies, she says, she can say, well, I was ready to go on. It's not my fault that the wedding isn't going forward. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi seemingly is not accepting that argument. And so what the Gemara now is suggesting, is putting on the table, is that this argument of tenuli ba'ali v'asmachimo, give me my husband and I'd be more than happy to go forward. I know it's crass. I know it's a rough way to describe it. But basically, from her perspective, I was ready to go on. Seemingly, this argument, and whether it's a successful argument or not, is a machlokus between Rabbi Nasan and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. And it only bothers the Gemara because previously the Gemara assumed that it is an absolutely valid argument. So the Gemara now, in addressing the Braisa, says low. No. Meaning, the pshat that we just offered in the Braisa is not the only way to learn the Braisa. According to everybody, if he dies and she survives, and she's asked for the Kesef Kedushin, she can reject returning the Kesef Kedushin by simply advancing the argument of, I was ready to move on. So if he dies, there's no debate whatsoever. You know where the debate is? Where she dies. And over here, what's at issue over here is the following. And now we get to another core discussion of today. And that is, a man marries a woman. Again, there are two stages of marriage. It's Kedushin and it's Nisuin. Kedushin can be done in one of three ways, but right now we're just talking about Kesef Kedushin. So we just keep it very straightforward and very limited to Kesef Kedushin. So a man goes over to a woman, hands her Kesef Kedushin, Harayat Mekudeshes Li. Okay, nowadays the minhag is to give a ring, but let's just talk about money. And he hands her money now as the Kesef Kedushin. Now, basically, is this money now absolutely hers? One way to look at it is, it's absolutely hers. Meaning, and the Gemara, the way the Gemara phrases it is, Kedushin litivuin nasnu. Kedushin is litivum, tivuin from the words tava bayam, where the ship sinks in the ocean. Basically, when I'm handing her the Kesef Kedushin, it's basically, okay, I know it's not a great analogy, but basically, it's yours. Unconditional. It now belongs to you. It's your money.
The other way
to present it is, it's conditional based on the fact that this marriage actually goes through. Meaning, if the marriage does not advance to the second stage of marriage, so then I get back the money. Right? It's not the same. I'm going to say it one more time. It's not the same, but an engagement ring. Okay? Nowadays, engagements are not necessarily halachic. Right? They're certainly significant. But an engagement ring, the engagement is broken off. Can the husband ask for the ring back?
Yeah, it's like an implicit.
Okay, good. So there,
right? You're not. Most people will not argue. Meaning, it's over there. It's understood that the engagement ring is given on the virtue of the fact that we're going to get married. If we're not married, so then I'm going to get back my engagement ring. So over here, this is obviously a more serious discussion because we're talking now about the Kesef Kiddushin, which actually it's not. Meaning, keep in mind, Kiddushin is the first stage of marriage. So that means that they are actually married.
The transaction.
And at the same time, it's also a financial transaction. So that in the event that we don't go through with the second stage of marriage, can I now get back my Kesef Kiddushin? And the Gemara now is saying, this is the subject of the Machlokas between Rabbi Nassan and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. And the Gemara goes on to explain. Rabbi Nassan, Sofer Kiddushin, Lavli Tibun Nasnu. Rabbi Nassan says that when you give Kesef Kiddushin, it's not sunk. I mean, you don't just simply hand it to her and say, under any conditions, it's yours. No. It is basically conditional. So that means that in the event where, Rahman al-Islam, God forbid, that she dies, so now he has the right to ask for it back. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Savra Kedushin L'Tivun Asnu. So, and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says no. That when you give her the Kesef Kedushin, it's sunk. Meaning, you give it to her, that's it. There's no opportunity for reimbursement. So the Gemara says this is all seemingly a wonderful explanation of the Machlokes between Rabbi Nassan and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. However, if you again go back to the Braisa, read the Braisa again, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is talking about Minug. If the Minug is to return it, Minug, what does Minug have anything to do over here? The Gemara asks exactly that question. Gemara says, yeah, but Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is talking about a Minug. So the Gemara says, in terms of a Minug, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi will say like this. Kesef Kiddushin, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says, that's gone. That was given to her, it's hers, and even if Rahman al-Salam, she dies, it goes to her family, it's hers. What about gifts? The Gemara refers to this in one of two ways. One way the Gemara is referring to that is what's called sivlonos, which we just read that in the Gemara. Sivlonos are basically additional gifts that are given from him to her. Also, the Gemara in just a moment is also going to refer to it as a mohar, which actually the Torah uses as a term describing some sort of gift giving. So the Gemara says that may in fact be conditional, and again, that's going to be dependent on minhag. V'hani tanai k'hani tanai d'tanya, the Gemara points out that this is subject to the machlokas tanaim. Kicham b'kikar. If a man's mekadesh a woman with a kikar, kikar is money. A lot of money. Kikar is 25 mana. Each mana is 25 shkalim. Each shekel is 4 dinarim, which is 4 zuzim. Okay, so that is a significant amount of money. So, kisha b'kikar, if a man is mekadesh a woman with a kikar, besula gova masayim v'amana mana divreb meir. So, a besula collects 200 and a mana collects 100. Again, that's a ksuva obligation. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, besula... I'm sorry. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Besula Gova Masan Va'amana Mano Machzer Shlosh Ashar. The entire balance is going to be returned. Rabbi Yosi Omer Kisha Be'esrim Nosem Lo Shloshim Chatzayim Kisha Be'Shloshim Nosem Lo Esrim Chatzayim. And Rabbi Yosi says that if he was Mekadosh her with 20, so then 30 halves are returned. If he was Mekadosh her with 30, 20 halves are returned. What is going on over here? B'maya skinan, the Gemara's question on the Braisa. What is happening over here? Elamisha Mesa, so me is like Suva. The Gemara says, we're not talking about a case where she died, because if she died, then there, of course, is no Suva settlement that's paid. The Suva settlement that's paid is only upon either his death or divorce. So we're not talking about a case where she died. Elisha Mesa, we're talking about a case where he died. So on my Machzer Aslo Sashar, V'nema Tanuli Bali Vesmachimo. So the Gemara says, well, if he died, why should she have to return any of the Kesef Kiddushin? Any and all the Kesef Kiddushin is hers to keep. Again, the argument, which the Gemara says is an absolutely valid argument, is I'm ready to get married, and I was ready to go forward, and I received the Kesef Kiddushin, and I will keep the Kesef Kiddushin. The elevation is social zimsa. So the Gemara says, so the case over here is a more complicated case. We're talking about where she was mezana, where she committed adultery. Uva ma'iba ratzami is like suva. The Gemara says, well, she committed adultery, and it was a willing act of adultery. So the Gemara says she forfeits her ksuva. Right? The Gemara ksuva says very clearly that that is on her part malfeasance, and that is a forfeiture of her ksuva. So the elabonis. So the Gemara says, well, if let's say she was not willingly committing adultery with another man, but she was, God forbid, rachmanas leflan, she was raped. So Misha Sharile. Well, under those circumstances, she's permitted to her husband. It doesn't. The marriage is not terminated. So the Gemara says, ve'elabeshes konshen ansa. So the Gemara says, we're talking about an extraordinarily specific circumstance where, married to a Kohen, she was raped. The halacha is that she can no longer be with her husband. So uvekidushin letibun nisnu kamiflagi. And so now, under these circumstances, so it's most unfortunate. But the halacha is that he has to divorce her. Now, it's no fault of his, it's no fault of hers, meaning that she was raped. But at the same time, he's a Kohen. So the marriage simply has to terminate. And now, he gave her a significant amount of money for the Kesef Kedushin. Does she get to keep it, or does she have to give it back to him? Rabbi Meir suffered Kedushin Litibun Nesna. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that when you give Kesef Kedushin, it's Litibu'in. It is sunk. It goes to her, it stays by her, and it's not to be returned. Rabbi Yehuda suffer lav litibu nisnu, and Rabbi Yehuda says no, it is not sunk. It's going to go back to him. And Rabbi Yossi misafka lei litibu nisnu ilo. And Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that I don't know. It's, in other words, I'm simply in a state of doubt. I could see both sides of the argument. Ve'ochach kisha be'esrim nosin la shloshim chatzaim kisha b'shloshim nosin la esrim chatzaim. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi, basically it is a safek. It's mamon. I don't know whether it's returned or not. So Cholkin, it's to be divided. Half of it's going to be returned, half of it's not going to be returned. And so therefore, when she keeps half of it, the Kesef Kedushin, so then the balance of Riksuva is going to be paid off after she has kept half of it. And go through the Rashbam right now. You'll forgive me, I'm not going to go through the Rashbam right now in terms of how the numbers match. But basically, the idea is she'll keep half the Kesef Kedushin, and then the balance of Riksuva is going to be paid from the husband to his wife. Okay. Where do we stand right now in the Gemara? So a number of things that we discussed over the course of today's daf. Number one, the basic idea of shoshbinos. This idea that if I'm going to somebody's chasna and providing a financial gift, it is expected and an obligation that when I make a chasna, so he has to return favor and he has to return gift. And then, in the course of the discussion, we also went on to discuss this idea of kesef kiddushin, whether it is refundable or not refundable, machlokis tanaim, whether it was considered a conditional advancement of money. Amar Rav Yosef Bar Minyumi, Amar Rav Nachman, B'chol Makom Shenagol Achzir Machzirin. So Rav Yosef Bar Minyumi quotes in the name of Rav Nachman that where the minhag is to return, you return. V'tikrama Naharda, and that is specifically in the town of Naharda, which is where Rav Nachman is from. Shar Bavel Mai, what about the rest of Bavel, Rabba Rav Yosef, Dami Tavayo, Mare Hadre, Kedusha Lo Hadre. That the Mare, I told you, that's the same word as Savlanos, which we learned earlier, so that's to be returned, but the Kesef Kedushin is not to be returned. Amara Papa Hilchasa, Ben Shemesu, Ben Shemesahi, Hadar. Bein shemeshu, bein shemeshehi, v'harda behu, moare hadre kedusha lo hadre. The gifts that were given are to be returned to the husband or his family. That is assumed to be conditional. The kesef kedushin is not to be returned. Hadra ba ihi, afilu kedushin ami hadre. If, however, after the kesef kedushin was given to her, which means that they went through the first stage of marriage, and then she backs out, meaning when I say back out, by the way, keep in mind, it's not. This is not like a breaking of an engagement. When it means that she is, they have to get a divorce. But she is the cause of the reason. So then everything goes back to him, including the kesef kedushin. Ameim amar kedusha lo hadre, and Ameim is of the opinion the kesef kedushin does not go back to the husband. Why? Gzera shemar yomer kedushin tofsin b'achosa, and for a reason of a gzera, a rabbinic decree. Let's think this through. They went through the first stage of marriage, Cheskiyus Kedushin. After which she says, I don't want to go any further in this marriage, meaning we're not going to move on to stage two. Okay, so she's basically now at fault for the termination of this marriage. Again, he has to give her a divorce, but she's, in other words, she's at fault. She's the one who insisted that she does not want to go forward with the marriage or continue with the marriage. So, in theory now, everything needs to be returned to the husband, including the Kesef Kedushin, in theory. Here's the problem, which is what a Maimar is presenting. And that is that if I'm looking now at what is happening, I'm watching now her return the Kesef Kedushin to him. And I can easily make the conclusion, oh, they were never married. Which is not true. Meaning, of course they were married. He handed her the Kesef Kedushin. There were witnesses. Of course they were married. The only argument you're making, which is a good argument of, well, she is the one who backed out, so therefore the Kesef Kedushin should be returned to him. But from the casual observer is going to think, oh, they were never married. The husband himself also may arrive at that conclusion. Oh, they were never married. And then the husband's going to go to a family member of hers, let's even say her sister, and think to himself, oh, she's not an erva to me, meaning I think the first marriage was totally annulled. It was not annulled. The first marriage was there. And so therefore, for fear, for concern, that if the Kesef Kedushin were to be returned, it would look as if the marriage was annulled. So therefore, the Chachamim said, don't return the Kesef Kedushin, so that everyone understands that they were, in fact, married. So the Gemara says, Rav Ashi Amar Gita Mochich Aleha. So the Gemara, Rav Ashi would suggest that, well, you know, he is writing her a get, and so isn't that going to dispel any misconception? The Gemara says, not necessarily. The Gemara says, no, because people will know about the Kesef Kedushin, but people may not, in fact, know about the Gittin, so the get may not dispel the misconception. Okay. Let's do more for this morning. Let's cover the basic five. Five things are said regarding Shoshbinos. Okay, Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Chamisha Dvarim Nemar B'Shoshbinos. Five things are said regarding the Shoshbinos obligation. Number one, Nikbis B'Beistin. It's collected in Beistin, which means I made a wedding. I invited you. You came. You gave me a gift. Now you make a wedding. I come to you and I decide, you know what? I'm not giving a gift. You can take me to court. It is an obligation where it is so, it's such a strong obligation that you can take me to court. Number one. Number two, Ein Bo Mishum Ribis, it is not subject to the Ribis, it's not subject to the Ribis prohibition. Meaning, let's say I come to your wedding and I just happen to be slightly more, I skipped one, sorry. I haven't numbered in my Gemara. Two, Choseres Ba'onasa. The reciprocity occurs in the proper time. Proper time meaning when you get married. Meaning I don't have to pay you back at an earlier point in time. Meaning you came to my wedding, you gave me a gift. I don't have to now pay you the reciprocity of Shoshbinos until you actually get married. Until I'm sitting there at your wedding enjoying the meal together with you. Three, Ein Bo Mishum Ribis is not subject to interest. Now I can explain it. Meaning, you came to my wedding, you gave me a gift, you gave me a financial gift, and now I go to your wedding and I decide, you know what? I'm just a more generous guy than you are. I'm going to give you more. If this is considered like a loan, so then one can easily imagine, subject to the Ribis prohibition. I can't give you more than what you gave me. The Gemara says it's not subject to the Ribis prohibition. It's fair to ask, why is it not subject to the Ribis prohibition? So a simple explanation could very well be because this, even though it's an absolute obligation, but it's an absolute obligation that may not come to be. Meaning, on one hand, it's a loan. On the other hand, it's a conditional loan. I may never have to pay it back. You may never get married. Or, like we'll learn a little bit later on, your marriage may not be comparable to my marriage. We'll discuss that point later, probably tomorrow. But in other words, this loan does not behave like a quote unquote regular normal loan, and therefore not subject to the ribbis prohibition. Number four, Eina Shvius Mishamta. If let's say my marriage occurred before the end of the Shemitah year, you get married after the end of the Shemitah year, so you can make the argument. You would think you can make an argument of, you know what? I don't owe you anymore. Shemitah cancels all loans. The Gemara says Shemitah does not cancel this loan.
So you signed a cruise bowl.
it's not necessary. And the reason why is because this doesn't fall under the category of lo yigos, meaning we know that when the Torah tells us to cancel the loans, it's because the Torah says that when you get to the end of the seventh year, no longer demand the obligation. Again, it's the same basic point over here. Before he gets married, there is no obligation. The only obligation comes into being when the other party makes a party and gets married. So this is not, Shemitah does not cancel such an obligation. And finally, number five, Eina Bechor Notel Bab Pishnayim. And the Bechor is, and meaning in a scenario where the Shoshbinos goes not back to any individual, but it goes back to the estate, the Bechor is not going to get a double portion of the Shoshbinos. Okay, a number of things to discuss. Let's start today. We'll continue tomorrow. Nigbez Bebezin, it's an obligation which is collected in Bezin, Maitama, Kimova Damya. Gemara gives a very simple explanation. We treat this like a loan. Ein ba mishum ribis, alava daita dachi aivla. Not subject to ribis because I didn't give it to you with the expectation, with the assumption that you're going to pay me more. You paying me more, that's something which you consider, but it's not something which I expected. In terms of why Shemitah doesn't cancel it, because it is not subject to lo yigos. Because when the end of the Shemitah year comes, I'm not pressing you for the return of the money. I can't press you for the return of the money. I don't actually owe you the money until you actually get married. And as far as the Bechor is concerned, he does not get the double portion. Again, in the event that it goes back to the estate, not to any particular individual child, because we know the halacha is that if it goes back to the estate, it's a account receivable, and a Bechor does not receive the double portion of account receivables, only of current holdings. Okay, we'll stop over here. We touched on the basic topic of Shoshbinos today. We also talked about the topic of whether or not when you give Kesef Kedushin, is it litibun, is it sunk, meaning is it just simply an unconditional... I'm refraining from calling it a gift. It's not a gift. It's Kesef Kedushin is what actually results in the marriage. But is there any strings attached? Is it at all conditional? Subject to a machlokas today. That we saw together today regarding Tanayim. And in the event where he dies, she dies, is there going to be any differentiation in terms of whether Kesef Kedushin is to be returned? The Gemara's conclusion is Kesef Kedushin is not to be returned. Even if it was her fault, so to say, that the marriage does not move on to the second stage of marriage, still Kesef Kedushin is not returned. A Maimar describes it's because of Gzera, a concern that if Kesef Kedushin is returned, it looks like the marriage was annulled. The marriage was not annulled, so therefore the Kesef Kedushin is never to be returned. Other gifts that were given over the course of the of this period of time that is to be returned, Savlanos Mohar, the Gemara describes. And then we went on to describe back to Shoshbinos and five basic halachas that describe the reciprocal obligation of the Shoshbinos.